Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and you are going to get a treat today. You get the keynote before the keynote at Digital Built Week that we are honored to be partnered with them. And the keynote is titled Housing as a Product. And Tribe, as we did our pre-interviews and talking through this, I'm super jazzed to be welcoming in Greg Leung, who is the CEO of Connect Homes. In his background, you'll hear his story of coming from Apple and really cool companies to say, what does he think of product in houses? And as we say, and he asked a really good question. So like, what is the art of construction and what do you think is a product, right? And so we had this conversation around, this is for you contractors and affiliates to grow your business. And how we do that is by connecting the right construction technologies and the right products. And the word products is a lot of podcasts, right? And so this podcast is around that housing as a product to connect the right handshakes. And as the official partner of Digital Built Week, this is the last podcast and the last announcement to make sure to go to our website, theaoc.us, to register to win a chance to join and meet up with Greg and I at Digital Built Week in Anaheim, June 14th to the 16th. And make sure you go look at the other podcasts and check them out, like show 260 titled The Digital Built Environment Institute. And that was with the founder, the true origin story of all of Digital Built Week, of how this whole thing came together. And then also we talked with on show 262 with Brian Mackey, where his platform talks about how you can really take and use everyday informational modeling. And the podcast was titled Everyday Information Modeling. And we talk about how you got to be careful about the B in BIM. And so go check that out about the building and what is the true product. And so he is the CEO of Connect Homes. And what they're all about is they design homes that make you feel lighter, brighter, and more connected. And I'm going to read a little paragraph that I found on their website about how to tee this thing up. The home building industry has not innovated in over 100 years. Until now, if you wanted to build or remodel a home, you had to manage the product yourself. You had to hire an architect, make hundreds of design decisions, spend countless hours in showrooms selecting finishes, fixtures, and appliances, search for trustworthy local builders, contractors, go through a non-transparent bid process, brace yourself when the bids come in higher than you expected, endure a year or more of construction, change orders, unexpected delays, and extra cost. Not know how much your home is going to cost until you move in. And so they said, we decided, let's find a better way. And so my perspective is, let's tie what we're talking all about, the system built revolution, in this movement that we're bringing into Digital Built Week with our partnership. We've talked to many, many factories around the globe, and we've had so many different tech tools come into the fold. So what we want to talk about now is how we take our system-built factory plus the execution or construction side, and Connect has brought design, manufacturing, and installation all in-house. I am going to challenge Greg, how the heck is that possible? So how do we bring advancements in building technology together with advancements in offsite building systems to build as many better buildings as possible? So without further ado, let's get in and get to know Greg Leung, the CEO of Connect Homes. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage right now is a Negroni.
All right. We've had a few of those lately. What's the favorite place you've traveled?
The Eastern Sierra Nevada.
Give us one story of that.
I grew up spending a lot of time on the western side of the Sierra Nevada as a kid, Boy Scouts and camps, and it's beautiful, but totally different than the eastern side, which is in the rain shadow. It's much drier and much more rugged, much more remote. And my family and I took a trip up the up the 395, Death Valley, Mono Lake, Bishop. And it was just spectacular. So remote, amazing geology, really dramatic landscapes and contrasts. And it felt like an amazing place.
Cool. Give us one specific story from that trip.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things, I really love geology, and it's a really geologically active region. And there's this river that's fed by hot springs, this really sulfurous, smelly hot springs. And so there's part of a river that's got this section that is like hot and smelly. And it's this really neat, almost like otherworldly feeling. And it was super cool.
Awesome. So what do you like to do outside of construction that we passionately call the art of construction?
So right now my life is very focused on work and family, but when I have time, or when I imagine having time, it's aviation. I'm a private pilot, not current at the moment, but I really love planes and all things aviation.
Outstanding. Well, Greg, can you give us the story that led you to becoming the CEO of Connect Homes?
Yeah, this is one of the questions I get all the time, which is why did I enter this industry? And just as a way to recap my background, I spent 2 decades in Silicon Valley. I joined Apple in 2002. At the time, it was a little 1% market share company doing like $6 billion in revenue, a very small fraction of what it is today, nothing like it is today. It was the year the very first iPod shipped, actually, and the very first retail store opened. Yeah, very different world, different company. And I was in supply chain. So, you know, I'm not on wasn't on the product technical side of the business, but more on the supply chain and operations. And I was there for 12 years, ultimately ran all of worldwide supply chain planning. And supply chain planning, supply demand management is the responsibility for getting the right thing to the right place at the right time. And by the time I left in 2013, it was now a $200 billion company with the Mac, the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, much more like the company it is today. And from there went on to become chief operating officer of a smart home company called Otto, based in the Bay Area. We built a very advanced, sophisticated consumer deadbolt, like a smart lock for your front door. And so about the time that I met the founders of Connect Homes, I was doing some advising and consulting work and kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. I talked to a bunch of different companies, met really smart, capable teams building pretty cool products, but nothing really, nothing excited me and really felt like it was a calling. And when I met Jared and Gordon, the co-founders of Connect Homes, and they described the way that homes are built, actually that paragraph that you read earlier, and they're describing this incredibly opaque, siloed process with all kinds of inefficiencies, unpredictability, really reactive, misaligned parties, adversarial nature, relationships between parties. It sounded like they're describing a really poorly run supply chain. And so even though, you know, I've got a little bit of experience as a, you know, as a homeowner, having gone through this myself on a remodel, that description of the problem was very, very familiar to me because it's what I spent 12 years at Apple solving. And at the same time, the vision that they have in terms of turning the home into a product also deeply resonated with me because of my background in products and technology. And so even though this was a totally different, really quite a different industry than I'd been in previously, I completely connected with it. And it felt like this was a job that was really made for me. And that's not something I'd felt before. And so, you know, after reading the job description and having really the first conversation, it was just crystal clear to me that this was something I wanted to go try to see if I could be helpful and be part of the solution.
Gold.
So that was
gold. I really love that because now it's front and center. As we're recording this, it's like this supply chain crisis is everything, right? But you had a taste of you know, everyone's had a taste of construction and they get that. That's why I wanted to read that paragraph. So can you tell us a little bit more about the origin story of Connect Homes and, you know, who are the founders and their story of how we can really articulate to move this thing forward?
Sure. So Jared Levy and Gordon Estott are the founders of Connect Homes. They started the company a little over 10 years ago, both very accomplished architects. So these are not outsiders. These are insiders. And this isn't their first prefab company. They met and worked together at Marmol Radziner Prefab. Marmol Radziner is a very high-end design build firm in Los Angeles that some of you may be familiar with. And they launched the prefab business in the early 2000s. And this was that renaissance of modern prefab that you saw, got a lot of press and Dwell and GQ and Architectural Digest. And they had some of the most noteworthy, well-publicized prefab homes were theirs. But after doing that, they realized that that despite being built off-site, being prefab homes, these absolutely stunning, gorgeous homes that felt wonderful to be in, the process of building them was no better than on-site construction. It was as time-consuming and unpredictable and costly and slow to build and deliver. It's still, you know, they spent 6 months designing a kitchen for a client, and that, while they made really great houses, that didn't fit their vision of building homes, really amazing homes that people wanted to live in, but doing it much more efficiently at scale, at lower costs. And I think, you know, at one point they say they realized like they would never be able to afford one of these homes themselves. And so the problem they wanted to solve is how to take this mainstream. And so they started Connect Homes to do that.
So from my experience, building homes and connecting dots is not easy, just like you talked about, Greg, right? Like there's this kind of false impression is if you do it offsite, it's just going to be these Lincoln logs that just go together. And then I go to these different factories all around the globe. And a lot of it is doing the same thing just inside versus out in the job site. And you have all the challenges of logistics to where the cost structure, and it becomes this thing where people think it's going to be cheaper and it's actually not. You showcase a platform that makes connection easy on your website. Can you talk a little bit about that as we're now getting this thing geared up with your background in productization? I struggle with that word, but I think that's really what it boils down to. Of when we talk about products, it really builds from process. And that's what I'm seeing when I go to your website. It's really articulated well of the steps of choose your Connect Home. We build it and we deliver it and install it. Those are massive things. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So first, Devin, I'm really glad you called out the common misconception that prefab will somehow magically be easier or less expensive. It's in our experience, not the case at all. It's really hard to do well. And it's why we've spent two decades trying to perfect it and getting to the point where we are today. Our view, you know, maybe we should actually step back and say, what is a product and what is a product platform? Because I think that's another word, productization, is thrown around a lot. I would argue there's two main things that products have to do. One, you have to build something that's focused on the customer experience. You have to be meeting unmet needs of customers, which is kind of another way of saying that if it's not useful or beautiful or something people want, then it's not really a product. And the second part is you have to be able to do it at scale and repeatedly. And what you see is, I think, in sort of conventional prefab, is that they replaced one part of the process, maybe the construction part. They've moved it offsite under a roof, but they haven't actually solved the end-to-end product journey. And that's also where, you know, coming from my background at Apple, where I was responsible for the end-to-end process of building something, from all the way from component to assembly to transportation to sale to distribution, even to support and repair at the end of its life. This notion of how to connect all these pieces together is very familiar to me. And what we're doing at Connect Homes is, it's the same thing. And so you asked, you know, why why or how do we do design and building and transportation and installation? And it's because we believe you have to do that. It's not you have to do it for two reasons. One, it's a far better customer experience, and having customers go and have to navigate the different architect and find someone to deliver it and find someone else to install it, it's just a terrible customer experience. But equally as importantly, the way you make the product better is by understanding and bridging across all of these nodes, all of these islands in the process. And that's absolutely critical for actually solving the problem and truly building a product platform, which is I think how you build great products that are scalable.
Such a great answer. Like, this podcast is so many things connecting for me, because I think back of when I was in college and working at Circuit City and the first iPod came out and we were selling all these other MP3 players and all these things. And if you go back and listen to the podcast with Domatic, where it was FireWire and USB that became Domatic, which was an Apple innovation, and someone from Apple that came in and he's changing how electrical supply works. Greg's saying the same thing. iPod wasn't first, but they were the first to make an end-to-end solution that you felt good when the next iPad came out, iPad, all their branding and marketing, you felt good about the next thing, because they made you feel good the whole way through. And so then we have to, if we productize this, we have to get into the models or the process and how this beginning with the end in mind looks like, is what I'm hearing from you, Greg. So I'd love for you to talk, what is the process like for selecting 15 models? Because when I saw that, a lot of people I'm working with are about just make it down to one thing and only offer one thing. But then there wasn't just one iPod, even when they started it, right? And so I would love your take on what is the process like for selecting these 15 models with coming from your background.
So I'm going to answer your question about how do we get to 15 models. But even before that, there's a sort of, I think, foundational understanding that's really important to clarify, which is, what is a product platform? So you mentioned some people are focused on building the one product, like just one version. And our view, being a product company, is that it's not reasonable to expect everyone to want the same thing. People have wide variety of tastes, and that's fine. That's good. There's a wide variety of different lots. There's different regions. There's different typologies. People live in urban settings and rural settings. So what you have to solve for is, how, as a product company, how do you deliver a product that meets the unmet needs of your customer, recognizing that the needs are going to be varied? I mean, this is probably the largest purchase most people will make in their lives, and they're called a dream house for a reason. And to say, you got to just forget all those dreams and you have to live in this box, I don't find that as a homeowner myself, as a very, very, that's not a very satisfying answer. And sadly, I do think some of the sort of ways in which we're heading, you see some policy focus around, like, we just have to solve the problem and everyone gets to have their identical box. Like, that doesn't feel great to me. And so when you build, what we've been focusing on is building a product platform, and it's with a high degree of standardization at the platform level, which is not the same thing as a high degree of standardization at the product level. And let me break that down, because that's kind of a mouthful. What that means is that we have figured out how to, we have a set of standard components and technologies and systems and engineering and design that we can use over and over and over again, which means we have scale. An economy of scale is what it's all about. But we've also figured out how to put them together and provide choice. So people may want to have a really modern black steel finish home, and they live in the city and they've got a two-story, you know, narrow lot. That would be our model 4TL, for example. And then you have someone else who's got this very big one story, you know, large lot with a beautiful view in the wine country. And they want nothing like that house. They want, you know, Western red cedar siding, one story. How do you fulfill both of their needs without having to reinvent the product over? And what you'll find is that the set of details, the set of the engineering, the mods, the systems, the technology between those two very different models is actually highly similar. And we can configure and match them with minimal work, because we've done all that work up front. We've made that investment to go figure out how all those things fit together. It's kind of like when you go to buy a car, if you go on, say, the Tesla website, you have all these options to choose from. Not too many. They've done a really good job curating them, so it's not overwhelming. There's not someone behind the scenes at Tesla who's engineering and saying, okay, they asked for, you know, this battery pack with that finish and this exterior. They've already figured all that out, and they're just, you know, behind the scenes. It's all done. There's no one doing that. It's been done ahead of time. That's what we've already done as well. And so, and it's the same. You could say the same thing for an iMac. When you go in and choose among your hundreds of thousands of different permutations of an iMac, it's not as though, you know, Apple hasn't actually built 100. They haven't gone and designed 100,000 different permutations. They've figured out how all these pieces fit together and solve for that so that they can be manufactured that way. And just, you know, we've never built the same house twice. So, you know, and we don't expect to build the same house twice, the same identical house twice. Yet when someone comes and says, we want this model, but we want it with, you know, higher ceilings, we want windows all on this side, we want wood siding on this side and metal on that side, we want these appliances, we want these fixtures, that's no big deal for us, because we've already put all of the resource and investment into engineering the core set of standardized components. That's a platform, which is super important. Now I'll go into the sort of how do we get to 15 models. We actually started out with 4 models in the beginning of the company. And we would have customers come to us and say, we love what you do, but we have a 25-foot lot in Santa Monica and none of your models fit. And so can you make something custom for us? And we look at the models and say, you're right. And that's a really good use case that we want to solve. And so we would design design a new model for them. And over time, this kept happening. And by the time we got to a certain point in the company's history, we would get these requests and realize that they were met with one of the 15 models. And we actually had more than 15 models at one point, and we cut back to get to 15 models. And so these days, almost every customer who comes to us can find what they need from the existing set of models, whether it's the big kind of rural one-story sort of modern ranch home or a townhome in a very urban setting. They can find what they need, provided that they're given the choice to customize, as I just said, with like lots of windows to take advantage of a view, or no windows if you're right up against another house. That customization, yet based on a standard product platform, is key.
What a great explanation of productization when you say you've never built the same house twice, but we're going to get into when you have that end-to-end product journey all put together. And so on your website, you talk about Connect Home offers 15 models to fit different lots. I love how you start with lots, because it all starts with here's the land and how it has to work, right? But then next is the dream, which you call the lifestyle. So you're fitting the lots, lifestyles, and to begin with the end in mind, you have to have this budget. And if you have a productization platform, you can actually take that lot, match the right people to the budget. And so then you talk about replacing your old home with the modern build of your dreams. And that's really what this transitional is all about, of getting your device back in Apple days of the MP3 player to something that is that all those things to be modern. And then you talk about or even building that second home in the country, which is a major part of trying to get outside of the box in those other areas. So really cool talk about the models. You had mentioned, I think, 4TL or one of them, that you have this really cool naming convention now. And I think that's really important to talk about. Can you shed some light about how your naming conventions work?
Sure. It's very straightforward, actually. The way the naming convention works for our home line is the number represents the number of modules that the home is that are in the home. So the Connect 4T, let's just take the first part. So Connect 4 means 4 modules, and modules are 320 square feet. And so that's a 1280 square foot home. And then the letters represent the configuration. And so there's some models that don't have a letter. So Connect 1, Connect 2, Connect 3, Connect 5 are just one story. But where, for example, in the Connect 4, we have a Connect 4, which is four models, one story. Connect 4T is four models, but it's two up and two down. So it's a two-story home. So the Connect 4T is also four mods, but it's T stands for tall. So it's two down and two up, two-story, four mod home. And where there's an L in the name, that stands for long. And so you may have, so it means that the mods are configured kind of end to end as opposed to side to side. And that's the secret. That's the convention.
But it's such an important talking track, right? I've talked with so many different people about this, and they go right into the Inspire model or whatever the name of this thing that someone came up to. And it's this whole configured thing that is this one thing all around lifestyle. But then how do you configure that to make it your own? So I think that's a very important thing, that now you can really build so many things that are outside of just the architecture, the engineering, all of the other silos, is you can actually really build the AOC IT house to match up to the physical house, is really what I'm hearing when we talk that way, right? So the next thing here, I want to get in and challenge a little bit, because your website really shows this, how check the box, go down these lines and choose your Connect home, and it works pretty smooth. And so you've mapped out this schedule or a timeline that is far from the current standard. Can you talk with us about that?
So I'd be happy to talk about the schedule and the timeline. This is a super important part of what we're doing. This is what a product platform allows you to do. And so our timeline is vastly faster than it would take to build a custom home and even many other prefab homes as well. And the reason why we're able to do this is because we have already spent all of the time figuring out and pre-designing and pre-engineering and even pre-approving our models. And so when you come to us and say, here's my lot, we work with you as a client to say, well, you know, you've got this gorgeous view. Let's, you know, would you like to have all windows? We by the way, build our homes using a steel moment frame. So none of the walls are load bearing. You can have an entire wall of glass. It doesn't require any structural engineering. And that means that we're able to offer all these customizations without having to go through a new engineering process and without having to redo all of the approvals, which means pretty much as soon as you've made all of your decisions, we can really quickly spit out a set of plans that go into a local approval cycle. When that's completed, we're able to get approval of the actual home plans and construction in a matter of days because we've built all 15 models before. And then we're able to kick it into a production process that, again, because we're not inventing these things all over from scratch every time. We're dealing with a standard set of components. We have a supply chain set up already. We don't have to go out and find someone to build that, you know, that siding or to source that fixture from. We plug right into that. And then it fits into our factory. Our factory, we build a home every 6 days. It's an incredibly efficient process. And so all of that means you have fewer choices, there's less time, there's less waiting, you can do a lot of things in parallel. And when the home is complete in the factory, it's about 90% complete. Our mods leave the factory with doors and windows installed, kitchen islands and countertops and cabinetry installed, all of the electrical work done and hot checked in the factory, plumbing done in the factory, fire sprinklers done and tested in the factory, HVAC done in the factory, even level 4 finished smooth drywall and primer done in the factory, siding, roofing, it's all done in the factory. So that means the time left to be done on site is also very short because the scope is less. And so by sort of solving this end to end, everything that needs to happen along this journey end to end, we've just optimized the heck out of it and taken all of the sort of custom work and calculations out of the equation, which is how we were able to compress that timeline so much.
Makes sense. And when you hear that, it's like, Well, this is all a no-brainer. So let's get into talking about, so you're, the factory's in San Bernardino, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so can you talk about the actual factory, what's your geographic area, and kind of get into how Connect Homes works and how it works today, or maybe kind of the future plans with that?
Yeah, so the factory is I would say, the crown jewel of our operation. It's pretty amazing. It's based in San Bernardino, about an hour and a half east of Los Angeles. And we've been in this location for almost 5 years. It's pretty amazing. I'm incredibly proud of it. I'd call it the crown jewel of our operation. We hired a manufacturing leader who had never built a house before in his life. His background was from automotive and aerospace, and he knew lean and 5S principles, the world-class manufacturing principles, incredibly well. And he was tasked with figuring out how to manufacture a home, not how to construct a home. So we've set up a factory that is a true assembly line with a continuous flow of materials, with specialized tasks in workstations, with rigorous quality controls at every step of the process that resembles any manufacturing operation you'd see. And when I toured it for the first time, even though we were talking about 40-foot long mods and steel and lumber, it felt like an iPhone factory. It had this, I could see the same steps through the process, the same optimization, you know, it felt much more like, it was very familiar to me, let's put it that way. And so we complete a home every 6 days in our factory today. We're going to be increasing the pace later this year. The other thing I'll say is it's not full of robots. Very little automation, at least in the form of physical automation. We don't have $20 million of CapEx. We're able to complete a home every 6 days because we've optimized the heck out of the process. And we've got an amazing team of people, the majority of whom come from the trades. We have carpenters, we have tilers, we have drywall experts, we have insulation installers, but they're organized in this way that is highly efficient. There's no downtime. Everyone is working simultaneously. We can have projects going to all different parts of the state or country for that matter, in the line altogether. And it's an amazing operation. You also asked about where we can cover. So a lot of modular companies are only able to service a market within about 100 miles from their factory. And that's because they haven't solved the supply, the logistics side of the equation. And again, thinking through this as a product, you cannot leave one part of that entire end-to-end chain out. You have to solve everything from component all the way to post-install. And that was an insight that the founders recognized based on their prior experience. And we designed and patented a module design and logistics system that allows us to ship very efficiently at great distances. And so we've shipped, for example, we're focused primarily on California today as a matter just of resources and bandwidth, but we've shipped as far away as Connecticut from Southern California very cost effectively.
Gold, it's all coming together here. Thank you for sharing that. And so, you know, we as the Art of Construction Tribe are fascinated when we get to have the opportunity to bring people. And we've been talking a lot about the parallels of your background with Apple. And so can you talk any more about your kind of key takeaways that you bring from your time there and how you have applied that and put this into Connect Homes? Anything else you'd add to that?
I'd say there are a couple takeaways from my time working at Apple. The first is what it means to be a product company. And to me, that distills down to focusing on the unmet needs of the user. If you're not looking through the lens of the customer experience and what the needs of the customer are in pretty much every decision you make, then you're not going to end up in the right place. And so that product piece is incredibly important. But equally so is the supply chain and operations side of it. So I think Apple is known as being an amazing product company, an amazing technology company. That story is very well known. Probably less well known is the fact that it's an amazing operations and supply chain company as well. And that's the part I come from. And so in how you manage and orchestrate these large, complex networks, global networks of suppliers, different countries, different industries, how you orchestrate them all to work together, to be aligned for the same goal, to use information in a way that allows you to make decisions proactively and avoid issues and scale proactively, for example, be responsive, agile, flexible. Those are all the kinds of experiences that and skills I learned at Apple. And that I think, you know, if you think about the problems of the construction industry, I'd argue those are a lot of the problems we have to solve here as well.
Yeah, I continue, like, the secret sauce of all this stuff is logistics, right? That is not in the news. And it takes until you're like living it day in and day out, right, of trying to figure that out. And you talked about how the background of having people that are in the business for you to come in from Apple and talking about, you know, standard sizes, moment frames, you know, how they're coming and you're putting those two together, because quite frankly, you're now solving this on a package, but nobody wants a lemon where they buy it and it comes and it doesn't actually work, right? I'd be curious for you to, can you talk about some more of those evolutions as you were really gearing up this platform and putting this out to the market?
Sure. It's so Connect Homes in the 9 years or so that we've been in operation, we've delivered over 600 mods, which equates to 93 homes and 27 shelters. So we've been doing this for a while. This isn't, you know, an idea. This isn't just a prototype that we think will work. And I'll tell you, the 93 homes, we have learned an absolute ton. We have made all kinds of mistakes. Because we're vertically integrated, we're the designer, we're the engineer, we're the manufacturer, the deliverer, the installer. There's no fingers to point at someone else, which means we have to solve our own problems. We're highly motivated to do that. And it also means that we can learn and we can iterate and improve the product very, very quickly, which is so important because that's what this is all about, is learning and improvement. And we've built four very distinct iterations of our frames over the last 9 years and hundreds of iterations of our exterior details. I'm really proud to say that our homes are better and better and better with each one we ship. And we're in the process of launching our next generation product line this year too.
Super cool. And so we've seen people from technology industries fail, right? And so I'll just put it out there, most notably Katerra, right? And not including, and what I've seen is not using the tried and true wisdom. And that's what I think you keep talking about, Greg, how we're building better buildings and we're coming out with this next rendition, but it's not coming from a clean slate. You're continuing to build on this platform and learning from those tried and true business models. So how does Connect blend technology with the wisdom of the blue collar warriors? And go check out that series where we have an arsenal of podcasts like Show 256, where I learned about the LinkedIn for tradespeople and why David Broom had built that platform, because the warriors are not on LinkedIn. There's these different platforms for the different channels within the art of construction or Stream Logistics, that a whole business around moving high stakes freight. And so we talk with Carson, the founder, but also Amanda, who's the client relations, where they go to the job sites and connect these different things. So the warriors and the trades who are actually building these better buildings, what's your take to that?
I think the Katerra question is a really interesting one. I think for sure there are some parts of what Katerra did or parts of their approach that did make sense, but they had an incredibly, incredibly ambitious vision and tried to take on a huge amount of breadth. And we believe in focus. We're only building 15 models today in the single family home space, as well, I should say, as sort of that missing middle typologies, townhomes, duplexes, triplexes, but nothing multifamily. And it's really, really hard. And I think anyone who comes in from the outside and underappreciates or underestimates the challenges of what's being done is, you know, at their peril. And to be clear, the founders and the team at Connect Homes is an AEC team. I'm probably the only person who's from outside the industry. And again, my background is really supply chain and operations. And so we just have a very different approach and a way of looking at the problem. And I think a real grounding in the actual problems of the industry and what does and doesn't work. Yet this desire to do things differently and not sort of accept the status quo as it is. To me, it's that both grounding in real experience, yet vision to change things that is critical.
Yeah, I appreciate that context because I think about it, it was released December 13th of 2018, where we had Mike Rock, who was the head of construction for Katerra, on the Art of Construction podcast. And that podcast was titled System Builds, Silicon Valley Meets Construction. And I think that title is kind of one that can kind of go down and saying Silicon Valley meeting construction. Those are such big arenas coming together that there's so many conversations that have to be had. But then you also have to go down into the riches and the niches, right? And so I want to talk about kind of some specifics. And one of the things I was really thoughtful, and I really enjoyed reading this article around the Connect Shelters initiative. So can you tell us about that in this piece that was published titled Ending Homelessness Through Innovation and Collaboration?
I'm really glad you brought up the Connect Shelters topic. So let me describe what this is, first of all, and the kind of the origin story behind it. So back in 2020, the team, this is kind of in the early days of the pandemic, recognized that we already have a homelessness crisis in California in particular. That combined with an airborne pandemic means that congregate shelters, or essentially dormitories, are really dangerous, bad places to live. And we also recognize that, going back to that notion of a product platform, we didn't have a line of shelters, but we have deep expertise, supply chain, technical details, that we could take that and very quickly build an entirely different product to meet an entirely different market need, in the form of these single module shelters that are being used for interim housing solutions. We could do that. We actually prototyped it in 1 month. We used a frame from our homes, and we used almost all the same building materials in our homes. And yet these are completely different products. In fact, but so like they share this common DNA, totally different products. We launched it in the middle of 2020, had our first project in the city of Mountain View, which was a 100-bed project. We did 88 of these beds. We got the order in October, and we had it completed within 3 months. And these are being used at this is a navigation center for people who are formerly homeless. They come on, they have a place to get healthy, to shower, to do laundry, to get on Wi-Fi, to fix their resume, to receive services. But the problem in this space is that, we were really frustrated with this choice of either having basically tents on one end of the tents or sheds on one end of the spectrum, or permanent supportive housing, which takes 3 to 5 years and actually costs an astonishing $750,000 per bed to build. And we were just not satisfied with these two ends of the spectrum, and said, there's something else you can do in the middle. And our shelter line can be deployed on or off grid. You can actually put them on parking lots or underutilized land or land waiting for entitlements, for example, service them like an RV or plug them into services. And to be, let me just be really clear about this. These are built to building code. These have fire sprinklers. They are insulated. They have individually zoned ductless HVAC systems, so you're not breathing someone else's air. They have LED lights. They have beautiful windows, and they're built. They will last as long as our houses, and you can redeploy them, move them around as needed, which has already happened with one of our customers. And so, the piece I wrote, to me is this reflects this frustration with accepting the status quo, that like it takes a long, it's going to take 5 years, so you have to be on a tent, or we have to wait 5 years, go through this process, spend a fortune. It doesn't have to be this way. If you don't accept the status quo and say, like, let's put our heads together and figure out how we can do something better can be done. And so super proud of this. We have a couple of projects currently in the works that combined are about five times bigger than that first one. So this is a really exciting and growing space as well. And again, it leverages the same product platform. It is not a different product platform, even though it looks and feels completely different.
Good on you, man. The passion just really came out. And that's what's so cool about seeing all this hard work of productization to see a product that can go so many different directions, right? And so as we get this thing going and get to hear your story, your keynote coming up at Digital Bill Week is called Housing as a Product. Greg, ultimately, what does that phrase mean to you?
To me, a product is really built on a platform, and it's scalable, it's repeatable, it's controllable, and it meets the needs of its customers, its users. And it has an emphasis on the experience. That's what this is. And I'm really looking forward to going through that in a lot more detail at the keynote and showing some examples of how we've done that.
Awesome. So here on The Art of Construction, this is definitely one of those podcasts in my mind, because we're all about breaking down these silos for architectural, engineering, construction, and operating this through these muddy waters, right? So how is Connect Homes an example of breaking down the AECO silos?
Yeah, we hopefully you're able to see that is emphatically what we're doing. And we think an absolutely critical part of the solution. And so today we're vertically integrated. We are architects, engineers, and construction. We don't operate currently, but that's part of the solution we solve. I don't think, to be clear, you have to actually have all of those functions within under the roof of your organization. But if you don't, you have to solve for that. You have to have aligned interests, common language, a cadence, data structures. You have to be able to work together on this common view and this common mission. And that's what we're all about.
Totally agree, man. We'll make sure to put all the information in the show notes, but what's the best way for people to learn more about Connect Homes if they're just listening to this and typing in
www.connect-homes.com.
Awesome, man. Well, as we close this thing out, Greg, the question we always ask, and I'm super excited for this question, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
Yeah, I think, I'm incredibly excited about where we are in terms of construction or construction tech. To me, it's like supply chain technology maybe 10 years ago was in its heyday, prop tech probably 5 years ago or so, and construction tech very much feels like it's in that place today. When you see the White House issuing statements about innovation and technology and modular, McKinsey report last month on also mentioned modular as a solution. It feels like something's changing. And if you look at the amount of investor, really non-traditional investor sort of talent and treasure entering the space, I think it's incredibly exciting. What I would say in terms of like the crystal ball is that we'll see a distinction between solutions in search of a problem, or these sort of technologies that may be really cool but lack practical application, as appealing as they may sound, versus products that really address real world problems by companies that know their customers they serve, even though they may not be the shiniest objects, and are actually putting that into work. So sort of as the industry evolves and becomes more mature, that I think will become more prevalent. And you look at this also through the labor shortage and the lens of construction labor, and I think technologies that can really help augment and increase efficiency and productivity of people will be that much more appreciated.
Love it, man. Well, close this out as, what is that one thing, Greg, you want to have our contractors and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
I can only think of two things. It's this just focus on solving the unmet needs of your customers, deeply understanding them, and being incredibly critical with yourself and saying, are we really doing that? Are we solving the unmet needs of our customers? And if not, course correct.
Love it, Greg. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And we'll make sure got a couple little time left to get potential for free passes. Everybody register. Greg, I think it's going to be a great platform for all of us coming together at Digital Built Week to share our stories and actually connect each other to build better buildings, right?
Love it.
Awesome. Such a breath of fresh air. Because I don't know about you, Tribe, but I keep going from meeting to meeting and hear about how we can't do that. I tell you what, it's here, it's now. You can do it. And they're doing it and taking from shelter projects to custom homes in California and building a platform to scale. So if you're not paying attention and not being part of connecting homes to build better buildings, you're going to get left behind. So make sure if you have the availability, go to theaoc.us, register for in Anaheim, June 14th to 16th, where we're giving out passes to get involved, connect in with the Art of Construction tribe and connect homes. Crush it out there, tribe.